This morning, as we read God's Word, I'm going to ask that you pull your Bibles out. If you've got them near you, open up to the book of Matthew. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can turn them on. Maybe you got it on a phone. It's going to be on the screen behind me. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19. We're going to read 19, 20, and 21. Jesus is speaking, and he says this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. It is a great group. Thank you for being here. Our first service, this is our second week of three worship gatherings. We have one at 8:10, 9:30, and 10:50. So I want to invite some of you. You may want to look at the 8:10 service or the 10:50. So I want to give you that opportunity to know about both of those. Thank you for being here. If you're a guest, I want to follow up with what Heath said. Thank you so much for being here. Make sure and fill out that Connect card. I want to meet you if at all possible. You can bring it by, drop it off to me, and those types of things. I'll be sending you an email this week and would love to be able to get to meet you. So come back by there and see me. Yesterday was my wife's birthday. I know, I'm going to be in trouble. Yesterday, we planned to go out to eat yesterday. We talked about this, how we're going to celebrate. So she had gotten a gift certificate for Mother's Day. And she says, "Well, let's take this and go use it." And I'm going, "Oh, no, something didn't seem right about that, to take your Mother's Day card to go and use on your birthday." And she said, no, let's do this. So where we're going to go, I said, this may change though, okay? This may change. So we get there and I see the prices and it doesn't change. We're going to use that card. And so we order our food. The food starts coming. It's a brunch. One of these all-you-can-eat brunches. And I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be good. It's all-you-can-eat. I can handle this, you know? And at the end, I was a little upset, just to be honest with you. Got a little tense because service wasn't quite up to what I thought. You know, I'm expecting and all those kinds of things. And bill comes, and the gratuity is in the bill, all right? Men are going, I heard that. Well, but you know what? Extra gratuity is encouraged if you were like. I'm going, no, I ain't doing that. Amy, you know, my ever generous wife, says, "Well, we didn't meet the bill. We still got money on the card." I said, I can't do it. I just can't do this. It doesn't feel right to me. I just something in there. So it comes. They bring back the gift card. They bring the receipt. The receipt tells us that there's a good little amount of money left on this gift card. My ever generous wife looks at me and she says, "What? Why don't we give the rest of this to the people next to us? We can add to their bill. We can take care. We can help with this." "What? No." She said, "Well, Kyle, this was my card. You're here with me. We didn't do anything for this." I mean, I wish I could say I was convicted. I was probably more embarrassed, for the Lord embarrassed me in that moment, but I was convicted about, oh. And Amy hands it over. Can we help pay for a portion of your? And they were like, certainly. We got up and walked out of there, and I was like going, oh, dang it, Amy. We're carrying on now in our series about how to find life and live sin. We've been talking about what it means to find abundant life. And we've been talking about the first week, this is week three, we talked about gathering, gathering as a corporate body. Because of who Christ is, we found real life in him. Now then, abundant life is meeting together and gathering. Last week was the second G, about growing and about how we grow with one another. We grow in his word. We think on it. We meditate on it. We study it with groups of people. We want to be growing in his word. Well, today we come to the third G, and the third G is gather, grow, and give. And give. And some of you right now are going, I should have slept in. Listen, if you're greedy pastor here who didn't want to give is going to be preaching this message today, listen, the Lord's going to speak to us all, okay? We all have room to grow in our giving. But I want to make sure and say this. This isn't just about money. This is about our talent. This is about our time. This is about an entire life of stewardship, how we steward what it is that God has entrusted to us. The passage that we read just a few moments ago, Matthew 6, 19 through 21, it closes with this. It says that for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Not where your heart is. It doesn't say that your heart's going to lead your treasure. It says that your treasure will lead your heart. So where you put your treasure, your heart's going to be there. So I really do believe this, all right? I want to tell you, I believe this with all my heart, that how we handle our finances, how we handle our treasure is going to lead us to be where we're going to handle our time and our talent. This is how important our finances are to us. Listen, in the Bible, specifically in the New Testament, Jesus speaks more on money and possessions and finances than anything else. And he uses those as illustrations to us into even larger and bigger issues. But the fact that he knows where we live matters. And so today, I want us to spend some time talking about what does it look like for us to be givers. Because if we want to be have a real, true, abundant life, Jesus said he had come that we might have life and have it abundantly. It comes in us being generous, being givers, us holding open hand. Remember, Jesus himself gave all. Like he, the King of heaven left heaven, took on flesh and blood, came and laid his life down for us. He gave his life for us. And so we should take a few moments now to be able to look at what does that mean to us. And right off the bat, every week when I speak, somebody gets a little uncomfortable. If I'm talking about evangelism, the people who are sharing their faith get, go. And people who aren't kind of go, If I'm talking about sexual issues, people who aren't dealing in those areas, whether it be pornography or how they're handling their bodies, they're like going, yeah, you preach it. This is something we need to talk about. People who are struggling in those areas, they feel a little down, you know, like, why don't we got to talk about these types of things? When it comes to giving, typically people who are giving already are going, yeah, I'd like to hear this. Yeah, you keep going. People who aren't giving, they get a little uncomfortable. Well, today I want to be an equal opportunity offender, just to be real honest with you. Because you realize ultimately, and we're about to talk about what does it mean to tithe. I believe in tithing. I believe in the principle of the tithe. But if we're not careful, we'll make sure that you hear this. If we're not careful, you can check the box of tithing and still be a greedy person. Not wanting to be generous. Not wanting to be helping a brother and a sister in a need. It just becomes another check, done it. And our motivation for why we give back matters. It may be that today you're not generous. You're not giving. You're not tithing, but you're not even giving. Well, today, I don't want to offend you. What I want to do is I want you to be able to hear and to see, what does the word say about how we handle our finances, how we handle our time, how we handle our treasure. So let's start off first today talking about our tithe, talking about giving, our treasure. The word tithe in the Old Testament, it is a Hebrew word. Well, it's an English word for us, but it comes from a Hebrew word that means 10%. It means giving back. You see first fruits, you see tithe. It means giving of that 10%. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, open up to Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Now, I've done this for a long time. I've been a pastor a long time. I've been at this church for a long time. And when I start talking about tithing often with folks, one of the first things that I hear is, well, we now live under grace. Tithing is an Old Testament concept. And now, because of Christ, we live under grace. And it's all about grace giving. And I want to make sure that you hear me say, I believe in grace giving. I believe in grace giving. Listen, the Lord Jesus laid everything down. You realize everything that we have is here, is His. So we should be open-handed. We should be looking towards, Lord, what do you have for us? But this Bible, I do believe, lays down a foundation point for us, a baseline. And when I say a baseline, I do mean a foundation point for what does it look like for us to be givers? In Genesis chapter 14, we're introduced to a man named Melchizedek. Abraham, Father Abraham, well, I'm going to use him as Abraham. He is Abram in Genesis 14. He becomes Abraham. He has gone off to do battle. He's done war with the kings, and he's headed back to his home. And as he's going home in Genesis 14, he meets a man named Melchizedek. Look what it says in Genesis 14, verses 18 through 21. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. That's very key. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Now, Melchizedek, if you're taking down some notes, I always like to give a few notes you can write down. Melchizedek means this. His name means this. It means the king of righteousness. That's what Melchizedek means, the king of righteousness. It says that he was the king of Salem. The word Salem means peace. Please do not miss this. Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, the king of peace, Melchizedek in Genesis 14, Psalm 110, and Hebrews 7. In Hebrews chapter 7, Melchizedek is compared to Jesus. Jesus is the greater Melchizedek. Jesus is the great, he is the king of righteousness. He is the king of peace. And it talks about in Hebrews 7 that the inferior always brings their offering, their tithe, their gift to those who are superior. So go back to Genesis 14 now. Here's Abraham who comes to the king of righteousness, the king of Salem. He comes who is a priest of the Most High God. And it says, listen, what you've done, I'm here to bless you in the name of God Most High. It is by God Most High that you've had success. It is by God Most High that you have conquered. And Abram, it says, he gave a tenth of all the spoils. Everything that he had gotten, he brought to him. Everything that Abram had, he recognized came from the hand of God. And he came at that moment and he brought it to him. Now, what this is key on is that I need you to hear me. I want to catch this. This is 400 years before the law of Moses ever came into being. This is 400 years. This isn't the law. This is the love of the Lord that Abram says, I give back to you. I give back. The hand of God, God Most High, he is why I've had success, and now I bring that back to you. Turn over a few books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 through 23. It says this, The Lord God is speaking. He says, you shall tithe all the yield of your seed that comes from the field year by year. And before the Lord your God, in the place that he will choose to make his name dwell there, you shall eat the tithe of your grain, of your vine, of your wine and of your oil and your firstborn of the herd and the flock, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Here's what he says. Now then we get 400 years later, and God has given to Moses the tithe that predated, tithing predated the law. But now he puts it into the law. And he says, listen, the first fruit of everything you have, it doesn't matter if it's agriculture, it doesn't matter if it's cattle, if it's lambs, if it's whatever it is, the first 10% goes to the Lord as a way of saying to the Lord, Lord God, everything I have comes from you. All of my dependence is upon you. Every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father above, God, I bring back to you now, and I give to you a portion of that. You see, the tithe that the Lord instituted, that he placed upon his people, was, number one, for worship. For worship. You see, when we come and we give back to the Father, however you do that, Amy and I tithe, we sit down at the beginning of the year and we decide, okay, here's what the amount of money we make. This is this point that we're going to set aside, that 10%. And we ask the Lord, Lord, this is yours. Lord God, I don't know. I don't know what's coming after that. But God, this is yours first. It is yours. We worship you. We honor you. This is our way of saying, God, we depend on you. Come what may, we depend on you. We've decided that we make that decision at the beginning of the year. Some of you work on a salary and you have to go, okay, Lord, an hourly, it's different. You bring that each time. Father, this is yours. This is the first. It comes to you. It comes to you. You see, the Lord institutes the tithe even before the law, but in the law he brings this. Now you get to the end of the Old Testament. Move to the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. This is a passage that if you've been around a church for a while, you've heard this passage. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3, verses 8, 9, and 10. If you get to Matthew, you've gone one book too far. Pull back. Remember in Genesis when Melchizedek is there, that's 400 years before the law. The law comes, and now we're at the end of the New Testament, approximately 400 years before the Messiah comes. And here's what God speaks to the nation. He says, will man rob God? Will man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and your contributions, in your tithes and your contributions, in your offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Here we are in the last book of the Old Testament. And God says, listen, and he's speaking to the priest in this, to be real honest with you. He's speaking to him, and he says, listen, you've neglected the tithe. He said, how have the priests neglected the tithe? Well, they're the ones that are supposed to be teaching the tithe. They're the ones who are collecting the tithe. He says, you've neglected the tithe. You're robbing me. He says, and then he expands it. He says, not just you, the whole nation of Israel. You're robbing me in tithes and offerings, in tithes and contributions. He says, you've turned your back. You've said, hey, God, I got this. I can handle my flocks, my herds. I can handle everything that you're going to throw my way. I can handle it. And he says, because of that, I just want to make sure this is, he says in verse 9, you're cursed with a curse for robbing me. Now, I want to be really, really clear here. Some of you may want to turn off here. Don't. I need you to clue in. This is not prosperity gospel I'm talking about here. Okay, we don't live on, if you sow a seed over here of 10, you're going to get 100 back. No. What this is about dependence on the Father, acknowledging, God, we worship you. Everything I have comes from you. Father, I give back to you right now. You, the first fruits of everything that I have, I bring to you. Here's what we know, is that when we put, what he says right here, he says, you test me on this and see that I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be more money, but he does make the money that you have go farther. He gives you the ability to know how to manage that money because you learn to depend on him. And listen, it's as if someone who comes to your house who is an honored guest, you get to pick who that honored guest is. Whoever that honored guest is, you get to pick them. And you've got a really great pie, a cake. Typically what you do with the honored guest is who gets the first piece? I mean, typically, the one who is the honored guest gets the first piece. You don't start with yourself or even your family because you may get around, and you know how that happens? You ever had this happen? That first slice is usually pretty big size, isn't it? And then they get a little smaller until you, hopefully you're serving the kid last, and he doesn't need the big piece. But you get to the honored guest, and you're like, what happened? But you know what? When you start with the honored guest, the one first, you start with that. The Lord begins to make the rest work. That's what he does. He says, test me and see on this. Turn over to the New Testament, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I believe the tithe continues on in, to be real honest with you, into the New Testament. Matthew 23, Jesus affirms the tithe. Talks about in Matthew 23, he says, listen, you've been tithing your mint, your dill, your cumin, but you've not been doing the weightier matters of justice and love and mercy. He says, you should have done those while doing these. He didn't wipe it away. He called them to a higher sacrifice. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. He says, now Paul's writing here, what we know in 1 Corinthians 16, that Jesus has laid his life down, he's been buried, he's rose again, he's now ascended back to the Father, and this is a Gentile church that's based out of there's Jews there, they've come out of that. This is you realize early Christianity is still very Jewish. Still very Jewish. So they would have been still carrying on in many of those things. In fact, some of the things that they tried to carry on in, Paul said, nope, you can't do that anymore. Remember the whole issue about circumcision? He says, no more. It's funny that he never wipes away the concept, I believe, of tithing. He ups the ante, though. Notice what he says here. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. He says, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I directed the churches in Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of the week, each of you is to put aside something. Put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there may be no collecting when I come. Did you notice here that he tells them, he says, listen, your giving should be regular. When? First day of the week. Should be regular. He says that each of you, that's personal. And he says, as you prosper, it's proportional. You see, he's not calling us to equal gifts. He's calling you to an equal sacrifice, of which I believe starts with the tithe, because all of us in here make different amounts of money. And so each of us, we bring a portion regularly as he prospers us, and we give back unto him. I hear this question right now in the room. Well, what about grace? Listen, there is no more law. You realize, I want to be really clear. I do not believe that tithing is an issue of righteousness. Our righteousness is based on Jesus Christ alone and his sacrifice, him dying on a cross. Jesus said in Matthew that I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. And he fulfilled all righteousness for us. Yet we know that by the law, we show him, we walk in him, he gives us the way in which we are to live. In fact, grace always exceeds the law. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, some of you, you've heard it said, you shouldn't commit adultery. I tell you what, if you look upon a woman in lust, you've already committed adultery. He says, you've heard it said that you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't kill. But I tell you, if you use hatred in your heart, you've already murdered. See, listen, grace always exceeds the law. Always exceeds the law. In fact, he even looked at the rich young ruler and said this. He says, these are the laws you should keep. He said, those, I've kept them all. He said, this is the one thing you've not done. Go sell all you have, give your possessions to the poor, and then come follow me. And what did the rich young ruler do? Ducked his head and he turned and walked away. Listen, I want to tell you something. Is the Lord calling you to give everything away? I don't know. That's not for righteousness' sake. The reason he told him that, you know why he told him that? Is because money had a hold in his life. And here's what I know today. Money has a hold in all of our lives. It doesn't, you may have tithed your entire life and never been generous because you're just checking the box and your motivation is to check the box. Some of you in here, you would say, man, I believe it's not law, it's grace. Well, recent statistics tell us that only 2 to 5% of believers give anything to the church. Did you realize that statistics tell us that the average believer, I don't know what average is, the average believer gives only about 3 to 4% of their finances to charity. Church, we got an issue in that area. And the question is that if the church is made up of the body, that's us. The question today is where does finances, what do they hold in your life? Are you robbing Peter to pay Paul? Most of us in here, we don't have an income problem, we have an outgo problem. And it's because we don't start with the Lord Jesus Christ first. Some of you today are going, oh, I really wish I'd have stayed in bed today. You realize this hits your pastor also. There's nothing that comes before you that doesn't have to come before me first to stand here and teach to you. That the question is are we... Listen, we do live in the age of grace, and the question is, are you generous? I believe in the tithe. I believe that it is the foundation point from which we jump off, and if we're not able to even give the Lord back that, we may have our finances incomplete. You're not in control of your finances. Your finances are probably in control of you. And so the question is today, where do we find ourselves in this? Quickly, though, I want to move on. Some of you are going, that wasn't quick enough. I wish you'd have moved quicker. Let's talk about giving our time. Because remember, the real issue is where your treasure is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You realize one of the greatest treasures you have is time? Many people often say this, is that time is more valuable than money. I would agree with that. Time is more valuable than money. Many people say time is money. I would say no, I don't believe that. You know why? Listen, you can take all the money you want, but you can't buy more time. Now, you can lose all your money and you still have some time to make it back, right? You still have time to make it back. Time is valuable. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 say this. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 say, look carefully then how you walk, how you live. Remember last week, walk sometimes means walk, walk sometimes means live. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. This word time here, making the best use of your time, there's two words in the New Testament that are utilized for time. One is a word is a Greek word, chronos. Chronos, chronology, chronos means seconds and minutes and hours and days and times. It's a chronological. The second word that is used is kairos. That's the word that's here. Kairos. Kairos means this. It means this moment, this opportunity, this strategic time. And as a follower of Christ, He's looking at not only what we do moment by moment, hour by hour, that would be your daily schedule, but the moments that he's given you in time. How are you strategically using them for his service? Prior to modern day ports being made like we have today, people had to depend on the moon, the stars, the sun. They had to ride the tides and the waves coming in. And if a ship captain didn't time it correctly, he'd have to wait because the tides have to be bringing you in to the port. Do you know what that was called? He'd have to look for his opportune. His opportune. Sounds like the English word, his opportunity. If he didn't hit the opportune, he had to sit back and wait for the tide to come in so that he could come. See, the question for us today is, what are we doing with the opportunities that he's giving you right now? We fill it with so many good things. I mean, think about your calendar. Let me ask you, do you ever measure your time? Do you ever look and see? Or do you just kind of ride the waves and the wind and just wherever it takes me? Well, you don't do that with your work, I hope. We have to measure the time that he's given us. He's given each of us some very specific strategic opportunities to invest our time. Do you realize that if you took the principle of the tithe into your time, there's 168 hours in the week. A tithe of that would be, I'm not good math, I was in Texas, that's where I grew up, it would be 16.8, I believe, hours. Somewhere around that time. Let me ask you this. In case you're like me many times, getting really literal, you're trying to measure, what am I giving 16.8 hours of my time to the Lord? That's like saying, am I just giving 10% to the Lord? You realize we're under grace. All of our time is to the Lord. But what I find is that many times what we give to the Lord is about that much in our time. Some of us in here today, this will be the only time that you're involved in the things of the Lord. And I'm smiling right now because I don't want you to think I'm angry. Because I'm not. What's happening is just like our finances, when we give to the Lord, we gain so much back. Do you know what? When we give our time to the Father in serving in kids in preschool, holding doors open, being smiling faces for people, when we pick up the phone and we call on people and say, hey man, how you doing? When our life is about the glory of God in the workplace that he's put you, in the ball field that he's placed you, in the church that he's given you to strategic at these moments, when we invest that time for the glory of God, boy, things change for us. And it changes for the church, for your life, for your family. Lastly, what about the giving of your talents? You know what we often think about when talent, think about up here. These folks up here, listen, when they play these instruments, I look at them and I go, boy, that's extraordinary. I don't know how they do it. I can't get my hands to go right. I can't even walk in time most of the time trying to hit a beat. I don't know how that happens. We think oftentimes about talent and ability like when you watch a football game and you go, we measure that as talent and ability. Well, they're extraordinary, but you know what God has done? He's given all of us ordinary people very ordinary gifts that he desires us to use together as his body so that the extraordinary God that we follow and serve gets all the glory. This is what God has called us to. An abundant life of giving our treasure, our tithe, our money, our possessions, our cars, our homes, giving our time, giving our talents so that the glory of God goes around the world, goes across the street, goes down these hallways, in here. Oftentimes I have people look around and go, boy, it looks like y'all got everything covered. Wrong. I can't be in your neighborhood. That's why he's put you in your neighborhood. I can't go to your workplace. That's why you're at your workplace. I can't be serving down the hallway. I have something I do. We It takes all of us coming together with the finances and the treasure that he's given us, with the talents and with our time, so that his name can be made famous. So that his name can be made famous. So what, Kyle? So what? Well, here's so what. When you came in, that prayer sheet you got, where was that? I don't know where it is. You got that prayer sheet. On the front of it, it says, we would love for you. It's got two, pull it out. I want you to pull it out. Pull it, I want you to see it. Amy, can I borrow yours? Thank you, dear. I'll bring one home for you. It says ways to serve, ways to give. Listen, you can use a QR code, you can scan, you can go there. This gives all kinds of ways for you to step into generosity, to step into serving. Because here's what I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, when we begin to give back to the Lord, our lives get turned upside down. And when your life is turned upside down, your family will be turned upside down. When your family is turned down, your neighborhood will be turned upside down. Your church will be turned upside down. You see, what you do matters. But oftentimes we live in a principle of scarcity. I got mine. Give a gift card away. Are you kidding? Even though I'm probably not going back to the place again, keep it. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. But you're there. I don't have time to serve. Do you realize what my life is like? Slow it down. Slow it down. My time is really, really special. I don't have an extraordinary talent. We don't need an extraordinary talent. We need your ordinary talent just to step in. Jesus, this isn't a Jesus juke. This is just real life. This is just real gospel. He didn't count equality. He didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. And he was equal with God. He took on flesh and bone. He came, he lived, he died. He was buried, he rose again. Today he's at the right hand of the Father. We're here today. You know why we're here today? Because he gave his life. The question is, would you give a portion of your life, a portion of your time, and a portion of your talent for his name to be made famous? Jesus, I love you. I thank you. I honor you. I thank you for this body. I thank you, Father, for the conviction that you placed on my life yesterday, the embarrassment. And Father, I'm praying that today, Lord, you would speak encouragement, that you would show us as a body how to be more generous with our time, how to be more generous with our talent, how to be more generous with the finances you've given us. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things today. Amen. I'm going to ask that you stand.